You're listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast of the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato with your host, Historical Society Executive Director Jessica Potter. And now, Surrounded by History.
Hello and welcome to Surrounded by History. I'm your host, Jessica Potter with the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Joining me today is Radio Mankato's Jeff Lang. Each week, this program explores the history all around us, the history in plain sight. In this segment of Surrounded by History, we will dig into the history and the stories behind one of our prominent historic buildings. Our community celebrates the history of our built environment, with many houses and commercial buildings listed on the National Register of Historic Places. In addition, the Mankato Heritage Preservation Commission has designated a series of properties as local landmarks. Today, we will explore the history of a local landmark, the Mankato Post Office and Federal Courthouse. Many people know of this historic and iconic building either from the distinct architecture features or because they've mailed a package in the grand lobby. Let's jump in and be surrounded by history. So, do I need to say, do you know where the Mankato Post Office is located?
I think a lot of us hopefully do. Down on 2nd Street.
I hope so too. Yes, down on 2nd Street in downtown Mankato, the Mankato Post Office and Federal Courthouse, which a lot of people don't realize, is one of the top significant properties in Blue Earth County. I think we can all agree on that for its architectural significance. There were three major building projects in the life of the post office. In 1896, the original building was completed along with a prominent clock tower.
The clock tower.
In 1932, the size of the original building was more than doubled and the clock tower was taken down.
Sad.
In 1965, the work area and loading dock on the backside of the building was greatly expanded, and there's a fourth project that may be coming in our near future. So from its beginnings in the 1850s, Mankato had a post office. As the city grew, the post office was moved to different locations. But by 1890, the city's population justified building a larger structure to house the post office. Congress was petitioned and it approved money in 1891. And nearly a year later, in 1892, land was purchased on 2nd Street and the corner of Jackson Street, which is what we're familiar with today. The reason it took so long was there were three properties in contention. Another 8 months would go by before the contract to build was awarded on November 19th, 1892. So work began very slowly in June of 1893. They know how to make this process take a long time. But they, even though they started in June of 1893, they really didn't get moving on it until the year after that, because they kept changing the plans about adding the clock tower or not having the clock tower, and also decisions on whether to use Kasota stone for the construction of the tower. And needless to say, it was not on the fast track to be completed.
I got to tell you right now, I want to go find photos of the clock tower.
Oh, they're fantastic.
And the only reason I'm enamored with it is because you keep saying clock tower, and I keep thinking Back to the Future. So
that was the library that it was attached to in Back to the Future.
We don't have any clock towers in Mankato.
We do.
We don't have a lot.
Yes. Well, we have one significant one. Now we've got completely off track.
Okay. Focus on this.
The Blue Earth County Courthouse clock tower.
That's a clock? There's a clock up there, is there?
Yes.
With the lady with the thing? I never even noticed there's a clock up there.
Okay.
Okay. Another time. Sorry.
So the post office, even though it was being built, people said it was a mistake that the building was not being designed to be big enough. Okay. So from the time that it was that Congress gave the okay to build the post office and employees moved in 1896, over 5 years had passed. It took 5 years to pull this project off. And despite the lengthy period of construction and doubt about its size, the final product was a handsome stone building built in the Richsonian Romanesque design. While it was close to the center of the business district, the post office was partially surrounded by houses, with one to the south, one crossed on Jackson Street, and three homes across the alley behind the building. So that would be on Broad Street.
Which is where the loading dock ended up being.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. With the central clock tower rising to a height of 88 feet, the
Which
building...
88 miles per hour. Sorry.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. The building was quite a dominant image. I mean, you think about that height, mm-hmm. and you think about some of the other buildings in downtown at the time. The main entrances, there were two of them. There was one on 2nd Street, and there was one facing Jackson Street. So we can kind of picture those are the same entrances. The basement was 10 feet high, and the first and second floors were both 14 feet, 4 inches high. So tall building. The first level was entirely devoted to post office activities, while the second floor had a courtroom and rooms for judges, clerk of court, the marshal, district attorney, grand jury, and petit jury. What made this original building unique was, of course, the
clock tower.
Thank you. Rising well above its uppermost roof, the center of the top of the tower, there was a flagpole that rose to an even greater height. There was a large clock face on all four sides, and the timing mechanisms were run by water power. At first, there were 24 gas jets illuminating all four faces for night viewing. Can you imagine?
Wow. No kidding.
Oh, gas jets, remind you, that's gas electricity. However, after only a week of operation, this was discontinued as the dirty manufactured gas used was drying out the inside woodwork, creating a fire danger and blackening the inside of the dials. It was retrofitted with electricity throughout its lifespan. The clock tower's timing mechanism was often needed to be fixed, and that required a person from Milwaukee to come and repair it. So in the 1890s, having someone come from Milwaukee to repair the clock was probably not very practical.
Now, I got to tell you, I looked it up on my phone while we're talking. That looks amazing.
Yeah, it is quite tall. It's quite much, it's a lot taller than the building itself.
Right. I wish they would have maybe got rid of the clock if it's such a problem, obviously, because I'm guessing that's why they got rid of it, but left the tower or something. That looks incredible.
Well, let's find out why they took the tower down.
Please keep going. I'll stop talking about how it compares to Back to the Future.
So there is a reason why they took it out, because the second phase for this building is in the 1930s. That's 30 years after the completion of the building. The people of Mankato said, hey, we need a bigger post office, just like they were screaming for it in 1896. So they took 2 years to seek Congress to pass appropriations to expand the post office. Plans to double the size of the original building were finalized in 1932, and a contract was awarded to C.H. Peterson and Company of Minneapolis. Mankato's Lundin Company started the excavation work on May of 1932, and by November, there was a roof over the new building. So needless to say, this one worked a lot faster than the original construction.
No kidding.
A lot was accomplished with this major expansion project. The post office workroom doubled in size to 7,700 square feet. There was a full basement under both the old and new sections, which included storage rooms, two new boilers for heating, a new ventilation system for the second floor courtrooms and corridors. The lobby for the post office was doubled in size, and new offices for the postmaster, assistant postmaster, collector of internal revenue, revenue agent, and postal inspector were on the first floor. The second floor had another courtroom built, and like the existing courtroom, had judges' suites, clerk's office, district attorney's office, witness rooms, consultation rooms, jury rooms. One interesting room that was added was the detention room within the marshal's office. And so this is interesting. When you look at a picture, when you look at the front of the building today, you will actually notice that the building is very symmetrical. And of course, the clock tower is missing. But you'll see it's very symmetrical, the windows. When you look at it really close, though, you will realize that on the second floor, just to the right of center, is a lone, small, little window. And if you get some binoculars out and you take a look at it, you will see bars on that window.
Oh.
That was the detention room that was attached to the marshal's office.
Interesting.
So if somebody was attending a federal court and they were also being jailed at the time.
They're contempt of court, maybe.
They would be kept in that room until they had to go and speak to the judge. So beside all the rooms for courtroom activities, the second floor had a long hallway lined with beautiful mahogany wainscoting. On each side of the hallway were several offices. These were for federal agencies, ranging from military recruiters to civil service examiners. Mm. More offices were on the third floor. With such a large building, it's hard to believe that there was only one stairway between the floors. An elevator wasn't added until 1985.
Wow.
So security was a common theme for the post office at this time in the 1930s. At various places in the workroom were four vaults for storing stamps, money order blanks, and other valuables, a locked cage for cash on delivery parcels, and a cage at the stamp window kept out potential thieves. Now remember, stamps and money orders, that's all cash, that's all money.
Mm-hmm.
So an enclosed, also I think this one's really interesting, there was an enclosed catwalk suspended above the workroom, was used by postal inspectors to watch and make sure post office employees were not stealing any mail.
Oh, crazy.
This 7-foot enclosure was painted black on the inside and had cork floors so no one knew if someone was inside. Foot-long slits at regular intervals allowed the inspectors to see every corner of the workspace. And at some points along the corridor, there were slits that were replaced by one-way mirrors. When the first edition was done in 1933, the goal was that unless you knew where the original 1896 building ended, you couldn't tell where the new construction started. This was achieved by using stone of similar color and using the old techniques to finish it with. Finally, the old part of the building was washed with steam to make it look brand new. So I didn't mention that the clock tower came down, but we've kind of talked about that a few times.
Right.
So there is a third phase. The third phase.
Can I ask a question before
you
get there?
Sure.
Maybe you do cover it up here in a little bit. Why did they have courtrooms in the post office? Is at the same time the courthouse is already built.
But the Blue Earth County Courthouse is court and district court. County court.
Okay.
This is federal court.
This is just okay. So they just had big different cases there.
Yep. Federal court.
Okay. Sorry. All right. Continue
yep.
on.
Yeah.
I guess
so,
that makes sense, but you just
yeah.
never.
No, but a lot of people don't realize that. And if you actually drive past the building, you'll see federal courthouse
mm-hmm. yep.
is on there. It's because federal courts would have been kept there, not the district courts.
Not the county stuff.
Yep. Not the county.
Understood. Okay.
Not the county or local stuff. So the third phase was in 1965, and that's when they renovated the back end of the building. So it's not as dramatic. It didn't take down a clock tower, but it also it added a lot to the work area for the operations of the post office. So it was on the backside or the east side, and that whole area, 6,000 square feet, was added to the first floor and to the basement for the workspace. Also, loading docks were added, expanded to have 13 places, each with their own overhead door. Again, new mechanicals, boilers, air conditionings, three houses and other buildings that were on Broad Street behind the post office were removed. And there used to be an alley that ran behind those houses and behind the post office
mm-hmm.
that was also removed so that that space could then become the parking lot that we're familiar with today.
Gotcha.
So here's a fun little tidbit, though. Okay, so you have to follow this a little bit.
All right.
Bernard Vetter was the production supervisor for Breen and Young Company, which supplied the stone for the original building in 1896. Okay?
Okay.
In 1932, Paul Vetter Sr. supervised the production of the stone from that same company.
Okay.
In 1954, Paul and his son, Willard, his sons, Willard, and three other boys, were the company that supplied the stone for the 1965 expansion on the back. Or actually, let me rephrase that. 1954 is when Willard and Paul and some other Vedder men formed Vedder Stone Company.
Got it.
Okay. So then in 1965, Vedder Stone Company supplied the stone for the backside of the post office.
Okay.
So a very long history of Vedder. Now, Vedder, the first, the Breen and Young Company, as you can see when I'm saying this, 1954 is when we have the Vedder Stone Company that we know today.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't an option. But you had the Vedder line that ran all the way through the production.
That is pretty cool.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah, it is.
So,
I mean, be able to look at that and say, well, my grandfather, my great grandfather did that.
And my great great grandfather. Pretty cool stuff all the way back to 1896. So, I just want to throw out a couple of little fun tidbits about our great, beautiful post office and federal courtroom.
Okay.
You know, we talked about that tower, that clock tower in 1930. If you remember when I was talking about the clock tower, I said that there was a flagpole on top of the tower. That flagpole was 60 feet in the air.
So that's 144 feet there, 148 feet then.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Because the clock tower is 88, by the way. I remember.
Nice job. So in 1930,
that's pretty tall.
Yeah, actually, I've got my little notes twisted, but so the flagpole that I want to talk about is actually the flagpole that on top of the clock tower was 50 feet, not 60. Okay, and so the janitors that were in charge of the building had to climb that. Climb up a 50-foot ladder from the top of the clock tower twice a day, even in the middle of winter, to change the flag.
Oh, man.
Because the flag has to go out and it has to come back in at the end of the day. Okay? So imagine that. So that is, and then the flagpole that we have outside the courthouse or the—
Go on, there now.
Is 60 feet.
Oh, okay.
Okay? So, yeah. Anyway, and again, you add your math, you got a big, tall, very, very tall.
That flag is up there.
It's way up there. So the original stairway to the second floor was inside the Jackson Street entrance. In 1932, that area became the postmaster's office. And after the removal of this room in 1965, this became an entrance for the handicap ramp built in later in 1992.
Gotcha.
So kind of some crazy stuff. In 1977, the green awnings that we have on all the public entrances, that was added in 1977.
Oh.
I mean, pretty crazy. This is the one that we want to always remember, is that the post office building was placed on the National Register of Historic Places in 1980.
How big is that National Register?
Well, the National Register is a national register, so it's all over the United States.
Right, but I mean, is it like thousands and top of thousands of places
then? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's kind of more of an honor system to be listed on it. There's not a lot of just because you get listed on it doesn't mean somebody can't buy it and paint the building purple.
Right. Okay. You know, it's just an honor system type situation. So it's like, okay.
Kind of like being put on the A honor roll. It was like,
I don't know what that's like, but okay, I'm sure some people do.
So you asked a question about the federal courtroom.
Yeah.
So that was on the second floor. It's an absolutely stunning mahogany clad room, but that held bankruptcy court. That's a federal crime or not crime, but federal case. And those bankruptcy hearings still happen. They still happened in that building up until recently. And now that the building is no longer part of the federal government's property, the bankruptcy courts have had to move to different locations.
Is there any federal court cases in Mankato anymore?
No.
Oh.
Not that I'm aware of, but I could be wrong. So lots of fun little tidbits about the history of the Mankato Post Office and Federal Courthouse. We hope you enjoyed today's program as we explored the rich history of this true local landmark. All of the information we share today comes from the archives of the Blue Earth County Historical Society. In particular, a really great article that we have run in our quarterly newsletter called History of a Local Landmark, the Mankato Post Office and Federal Courthouse, written by Tim Polis, one of our incredible researchers researchers and volunteers. Want to thank you all for joining us today. Until next time, we hope you see the history that surrounds you.
You've been listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast from the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato. For more information on this and other topics, visit BlueEarthCountyHistory.com or stop by the Blue Earth County History Center at 424 Warren Street in Mankato. Thanks for listening to Surrounded by History.